Good morning, brothers and sisters. That was great singing. We got all the words. We're all on the same page. That was great. Thank you, Phil. Thank you, everybody, for bringing your hearts this morning. I love the way John has called us already this morning to look to the Lord. And where we're going today, we're going to be looking at the next sola fide, by faith alone. That's where we're headed this morning. And what we're going to see is the simple call to walk by faith for us today. We're going to start, we're going to look at some history, but we're going to see what the Lord has for us as well. I was reading, there's a fellow named Donner Atwood. He shares this story that during the terrible days of the Blitz in London in the early part of World War II, there was a father who was holding the hand of his small son. They had just run from a building that had been bombed. It was late at night. As the father was looking for a place to hide, there was a shell crater out in the front courtyard of this area where they had just run out. And so the father jumps down into this shell hole, seeking cover for him and his son. And he looks back and he can see silhouetted against the red sky from burning buildings, he can see his son. And he says, "Son, jump." And the son says, "Daddy, I can't see you." And the father says, "Son, I can see you, and that's all that matters. Now jump." And the boy jumped into his daddy's arms. The boy trusted his father. He couldn't see his father, but his father could see him. And that was the important part. Today we're going to talk about faith alone. What is it? How does it work? What are things that kill it? And how does the Lord want to work in you and me? By faith alone today. So let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to help us to be like that little boy. Father, we need you today. Lord, we think about our dear friends, the Lees. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen their faith today. Lord, every one of us, as John mentioned, we've all come with some sort of bags today. Lord, we pray that you would increase our faith to look to you today. Lord, we know that you can see us. We know that you hold us. Lord, help us to jump into your arms, to rest in your arms. Lord, increase our faith today. Show us what it means to walk by faith alone today. Lord, we thank you for those who have gone before, saints of old in the Bible, some of the folks we're going to talk about just for a moment this morning from 500 years ago, that helped to call the church back to faith alone. But Lord, you don't want to leave faith alone in the past. It's not for history, it's for us today. Have your way in us today, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So a few weeks ago when we began our series walking through these solas, remember sola is the Latin word for only or alone. And so sola fide means by faith alone, through faith alone, not by some other way. So what we're going to look at this morning, we're going to start with a little bit of history. You remember Martin Luther, as he was walking through Romans chapter 1, he came to 1 verses 16 and 17. And this is what he came to. He said, he saw that the gospel, which is there in Romans 1:16, that God said that in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it's written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. So Martin Luther saw something that the church and church leaders up to that point had lost. They had fallen away from faith into this new way of thinking that really was never God's heart. That the way that they could access God's salvation, the way that they could come in contact with holy God was by what they brought to the map, what they brought to the table, what they could do on their own. It wasn't by faith in what God had done alone. So as Martin Luther is praying, as he's scared of God, he's scared of the righteousness of God. We talked about that. He saw in the righteousness of God just an angry God who punishes sinners. And he knew that he was a sinner. And so he was only scared. But then when he saw that the way to come in contact with God's righteousness was by faith in what God had already accomplished, it set Martin Luther free. This is what he said. As a matter of fact, this is an excerpt from the introduction to the book of Romans in Luther's translation of the German Bible from 1522. All right, so 5 years after he had posted those 95 theses, This is what he wrote. Martin Luther said, "Faith is a living, bold trust in God's grace, so certain of God's favor that it would risk death 1,000 times trusting in it. Such confidence and knowledge of God's grace makes you happy, joyful, and bold in your relationship to God and all creatures. The Holy Spirit makes this happen through faith. Because of it, you freely, willingly, and joyfully do good to everyone, serve everyone, suffer all kinds of things, love and praise the God who has shown you such grace." That's the way that he began to view God and view faith. It was God reaching out to him, not him reaching out to God. He viewed faith as a gift from God that gave him access to God's grace. It's this picture of, how do I access his salvation? The simple question. We see, as we move, let's look at a few scriptures really quickly. We're going to look at Romans verses 3 through 5 of chapter 4. What I want you to think about as we look at this is, how do we access God's salvation? How do we come in contact with God's salvation? That, in essence, is what Luther was trying to answer by this faith alone idea. How do we come in contact with God's grace? He realized that he was powerless. He saw in Romans chapter 4, starting in verse 3, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him, or it was counted to him, or it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Let's talk about righteousness for just a moment. Righteousness is the idea that you and I can stand before God blameless. Now, if you and I are going to be honest, that's crazy. That's crazy, if we're going to be honest. Now, if we're going to try to sit on some high horse and act self-righteous, which we're all tempted to do, I'm tempted to be self-righteous sometimes. But real righteousness recognizes there's no righteousness in me of myself. So what Paul describes here to the Roman believers, and what Martin Luther was struck by, was this picture that as Abraham believed God, he trusted in what God had said. He trusted in who God was. And that alone is how God put righteousness to Abraham's account. Well, this struck Martin Luther. It should strike us. He says, verse 4, "Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due." So here again, he's drawing this distinction here. Paul is to the Romans. He's saying, you can either go by faith or you can go by works. If you try to live by works, if you try to gain something by works, then what comes your way is what is due you. But we know he's already told us in Romans 3 and Romans 6 that we've all sinned and that what is due us because of our sin is what? Death. That's how physical death comes, but even more so, that's spiritual death, the separation that a sinner has from a holy God. So he says, if you want to do it by works, he said, then you're going to get what's due you. And that's not what we want. That's not what I want. I don't want what is due me because of my works, because my works show that I'm a sinner. My works can't help me get to God. He says, but if we'll trust in God himself by faith, right? Trust is faith. The way the gospel writer John puts it, he talks about believing. It's all the same idea. It's entrusting myself to God on the basis of what he has done and not on the basis of what I could ever do. I can't do anything to get myself to God. He goes on to verse 5. He says, but to the one who does not work, he's not saying there's not a place for good works. He's saying the one who does not work to gain standing before God. Okay, we got to be clear here. The distinction here is the one who does not work to gain righteousness, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited or considered or put to his account as righteousness. This is just the gospel. This is the gospel of Jesus. And it's something that the world looks at and they don't get it. the world looks at the gospel of Jesus and says, that cannot be. I must work for myself. I must be able to bring myself to the table with something. But God says, the best we have could never get us there, right? Like filthy rags. So this is just the gospel. This is what Martin Luther saw, and it's the same for us today, that we are saved by faith alone. How do we access God's salvation? Not by obeying rules. There's no rule that I could keep. If I could keep a rule, then as we read in Galatians 2:21, then I wouldn't need Jesus, right? I would nullify the grace of God. I wouldn't need Jesus if I could obey. The deal is, I can't obey. I can't obey. Jesus obeyed perfectly for me. So there's Romans 4. Let's look at Galatians 2:16. We read it this morning. We're going to look at just that first verse that we read together. Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. So there it is again, plainly. A man is not justified by the works of the law. In other words, if I could somehow keep some of those rules. But he says, you can't, Mike. You can't. Remember, the law wasn't given to make me righteous. The law was given to show that I'm not righteous and that I need a Savior. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. It couldn't be more plain. He says, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. It's a simple declaration that God makes here, that we cannot be justified. In other words, we cannot work ourselves into God's good graces. God's good grace is just that. It's a free gift from Him. If I could work for it, then that makes it now what I'm owed. It's no longer a gift of God. You know, the last sola that we're going to look at on the 29th, on Reformation Sunday, is to God alone be the glory. And we see here, we see in this simple concept that it's by God's grace alone, our faith alone, grabbing a hold of His grace alone, that's how we're saved. And that's the only way that God gets the glory, right? If I can boast about something I bring to the table, well, who gets the glory? Me. But God is very God. And He does not share His glory with me. And so He's worked out salvation where He alone gets the glory because He alone has done it all. I access His salvation, His righteousness by faith, not by anything I do. So there's saved by faith alone. Now let's turn it a little bit and let's talk about living by faith alone. What I want you to see is that what Martin Luther and the early reformers, what they grabbed a hold of 500 years ago this month, we can't leave it in the past. What they grabbed a hold of, the Lord used to reform them, to save them, and to reform the church. But remember, He wants to keep on working. He doesn't want His reformation to stop 500 years ago. He wants His reformation to keep working in you and me today. He wants this by faith alone principle to be alive and well in you and me today. It's not just what saved me, it's what saves me today, right? First we're talking about justification, now we're talking about sanctification. Now we're talking about how we grow, living by faith alone. Let's look at Colossians 2. Colossians 2, verses 5 through 7. Paul earlier has said that he's rejoicing. He says, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. That's verse 5. Now verse 6. Look what he says. We're going to press in here. This verse has helped me so much as a believer. As a young believer, no one ever told me, Mike, you're saved by grace through faith alone. No one ever told me that and then said, but the way you're going to grow in Christ is, well, you've got to work really hard. Nobody ever said those words to me, but I'm going to tell you, that's what I caught from many. But Colossians 2:6 says something different. Colossians 2:6 says this, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. What's that mean? How did you receive him? Well, however you received him, that's the way you're supposed to continue walking in him. Right? When I received Christ, that's just the moment I was born. That's when it started, not when it finished. That's when my spiritual life in Christ began. And he says here in Colossians 2:6, in the same way, just like you began this life in Christ. Well, how was that? How did you begin your life in Christ? Was it by what you brought to the table? Was it by your works? No. If it was by your works, then you don't have faith in Christ. You're not in him. If you think you've come to Christ by your ability, then you're not in Christ. He says, the same way that you began this life in Christ, so walk in him. Well, what's that? By grace, his faith, by his grace, by faith. It's through faith that I access his grace. It's by trusting in him and trusting in him alone. So sola fide is not just for 500 years ago types of guys and gals. It's for you and me today. How does he want me to live today? He wants me to walk in him as a follower of Jesus the same way that he birthed me in Jesus. By faith. By faith. Now, what's that look like? How do we do that? Let's look at Hebrews 11. Let's look at Hebrews 11. He says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. You know, last week, what we saw was that if we love Christ, we'll obey his commandments. Right? And this week, what we see is that if we want to please him, we've got to operate by faith. And operate by faith, that doesn't mean one time. It's not a one-shot deal. He means moment by moment. He wants me to operate by faith moment by moment. You know, as we looked at Colossians 2:6, I want you to think, so how did you receive him? You received him simply and totally and like a child and with joy at your release from sin. That same faith that saves us is the faith that grows us. Here's what St. Augustine said. He said, faith is to believe what you do not see. The reward of this faith is to see what you believe. God is calling you and me. He is wooing you and me into a deeper and deeper love relationship. And the whole heartbeat is he wants his love for me to move me to trust him more. He wants me to walk by faith alone because I trust his love for me. And that is what pleases him. Sometimes it's easy for you and me to fall in because there are commands in the Bible. There are things he wants me to do. But we've got to make sure that we get these things in the right order. Lord, let me obey you out of gratitude because you alone have totally, fully saved me by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus alone, and you get the glory, Father. That's what he wants to be working in us. Don't let this be, well, I was saved 30 years ago. I exercised faith 30 years ago. Don't let it be that. He wants your faith to be growing today. He wants you trusting him in new ways today. In your life, in hard things. There are hard things in your life today. I know it because you're living in a fleshly body, in a sinful world, with sinful people. You and I have hard things. How do we walk by faith? I want us to look at something really quickly. I'm calling these faith killers. Faith killers. There's some things that can undermine our faith, that can shut down our faith. And the first one I want to look at is cynicism. It's a form of pride. You know what cynicism is, right? Cynicism says everybody's got an angle. I understand how things really work. I've got this secret understanding of how things really work, and so I'm not going to trust because I've got inside knowledge. I read to you recently from a book that I've been reading on prayer. It's a book that I'm going through with a small group of guys. The writer of that book, the author, his name is Paul Miller, and he says this about cynicism. He has an entire section, several chapters in this book on cynicism and how it undermines prayer. It's really good. And he's right. This is what he says about cynicism. He says, cynicism begins with a wry assurance that everyone has an angle. Behind every silver lining is a cloud. The cynic is always observing, critiquing, but never engaging, loving, and hoping. To be cynical is to be distant. While offering a false intimacy of being in the know, cynicism actually destroys intimacy. It leads to bitterness that can deaden and even destroy the spirit. He says, I think we are particularly susceptible to cynicism in the Reformed world. And we would be in this Reformed world, right? We're not a Reformed church per se, but we certainly are of the Protestant ilk, right? We have received the Protestant Reformation. So in this sense, we're Reformed like he's talking about. He says, I think we're particularly susceptible to cynicism in the Reformed world because we are an intellectual world. We are rightly concerned about our ideas being correct, but we don't always pay attention to our heart being correct. Cynicism is an illness of our heart. He goes on, he offers some cures for cynicism. He says the principal cure for cynicism is to become a little child. You know, a cynic wants to be cool, and here's what I mean by that. You know where we get that term cool, right? To be cool means to be aloof, to not need anyone, right? To not be hot or cold, but to be cool. You know, in our society, it's a good thing, but actually, it's not of God. It's not of God. He wants me to be hot for him. He wants me to be all in for him. And that's not cool. That's not aloof. Well, that's what cynicism does. He says, be like a little child and learn to cry out for help. He says, I need to realize that I am that lost coin, that lost sheep, and that lost son. He goes on, he says, one other cure for cynicism is purity of life. I got to tell you, when I read this, I've read this a few times, and when I read this again, I'll just be honest, this stings me because I see this in me. He says another cure for cynicism is purity of life. Anytime there's a miss or a disconnect between how we present ourselves as Christians and what we are really like when no one is watching, he says when there's a disconnect between those two, that opens up a door for cynicism. So a lifestyle of repentance and confession goes a long way to cure cynicism. That's what I need. Repentance and confession. That's what helps me to be honest. When there's that disconnect, and there is that disconnect in me sometimes, and there's that disconnect in you sometimes, where what we present as a follower of Jesus is not who we really are. And the more aware we are, the more we allow those disconnects to be there, unchecked and unchallenged, he says that leads to cynicism. And he's right. It means I'm living fake. And he says the way to cure that is to pursue purity of life. And when I recognize, and I do, and I pray you do, that we recognize those places when what I present is different from who I really am, the way to deal with that is to be honest. To be honest with the Lord and to seek the Lord and say, Jesus, I need your help here. You know what that is? That's walking by faith. Walking by faith. Confessing my need again today. I'm already saved. He saved me 30 years ago. It's not a question of am I saved? It's a question of am I growing in faith? Am I letting who he is shape who I am more and more and more? And the way that I get in contact with that shaping power of Jesus, it's by faith alone. It's by faith alone. That's how we grow in him. Warren Wiersbe says this. I love this quote. Warren Wiersbe says that living a life of faith is living without scheming. Living without scheming. He means living, looking to the Lord and not trying to figure it all out on my own and do it in my own power. He says that's what walking by faith looks like. Okay, so that was cynicism. Let's quickly look at one other faith killer, fear of man. Fear of man. You know, the proverb says fear of man is a snare. In other words, the only one I really should be fearing is God alone, right? Fear of man. Fear of man tends to ask things like this: what will others think of me? Which is a dangerous trap to fall into. What will others think of me? Or fear of man might say, I've got to hold so-and-so's good opinion of me. In other words, I can't let that person down. Sure we can. Because our allegiance is not to any person on this earth. Our allegiance is first and foremost to God. What we should be asking is, what does God think about this? And what will he say of me? Here's the deal. Faith looks crazy. There it is. To put a point on it, faith looks absurd. Faith doesn't make any sense to the unbelieving. And we got to be careful. That can even be within the church. That can even be within the church. Have you heard this quote before? I looked this up. I can't find who first said this. Some people accredit it to Nietzsche, but that's not true. Those who dance are considered insane by those who can't hear the music. Those who dance are considered insane by those who can't hear the music. If you are going to walk by faith alone, if you're going to make that your pursuit moment by moment, people around you, sometimes people that love the Lord and are close to you, but they're not where you are in that situation or in that place of faith, certainly an unbelieving world is going to look at us and say, you have been touched in your head. That's the way we say it back in North Carolina. You've been touched in your head. Something's not right upstairs. That's what people are going to say. That's what they're going to think. Because faith doesn't make sense to one who's not looking with eyes of faith. It's okay. I would rather have the world or even a friend look at me and say, what is wrong with you? I would take that a million times before I would want to ever have the Lord look at me and say, what's going on, Mike? Am I not your father? Do I not have all power? Do I not love you so much that I gave my son for you? Why will you not trust me here? Who cares what anyone else thinks or says of you? Live and die to me and me alone. I'm your father. I'm your savior. Rest in me. I believe that's how God is calling out to you and me today. It's okay if people think I'm crazy. That's okay. You know what? If people think we're crazy, we're in good company. Remember Noah? Noah built an ark when there wasn't a cloud in the sky. People didn't know what rain was, and Noah builds an ark. What do you think they said about Noah? Wow. Wow. Crazy old man up on the hill building something. What is going on with that guy? But what does God say about Noah? He commends him. He commends him. What about Abraham? He was old, right? He and Sarah both old, right? They considered their bodies as good as dead in the child-making category. But what had God said? What did God say to them? I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to give you a son. And Abraham believed him. And God credited it to him as righteousness. Later on, Abraham offers up his only son. What do you think people might have thought? Say, hey, isn't that the son of promise? Isn't that the one who God said he was going to give and descendants are going to be more than the sand of the sea? Isn't that the one? Yes, Abraham says. Now, son, get the wood. But Abraham, that's the one that God said, there's going to be this mighty nation's going to come from you and through this promised son. Yep, he's the one. Son, get the fire. Abraham believed God. He believed God. This is what we're told. He believed that God could raise from the dead. This is way before Jesus is on the scene, raising people from the dead. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And God commends him. So walk by faith, brothers and sisters. People are going to say you're crazy. Don't worry. They can't hear the music you're dancing to. That's okay. You keep dancing. You follow Jesus. You follow the Lord. He's got you. Faith is a turning toward God when I'm tempted to run away. It's turning toward him when all these other things around me, and maybe even something in me, my fleshy mind, my fleshy lusts, my fleshy fears, whatever they may be, faith is when those things are raging and I turn toward the Lord. That's what faith alone looks like. When I'm frustrated, hurting, angry, lonely, tired, scared, that's when faith got to kick in. Faith looks like turning to the Lord when I'm feeling those things. And we all know those things can drive us to sin. Faith is turning toward God when I'm tempted to self-medicate or to seek revenge. You know, and self-medicate can come in any kind of way, right? There's this huge disease going on in our society today called pornography. A lot of people run to pornography to self-medicate when they're stressed or fearful or angry or lonely. Faith is not self-medicating. We can self-medicate with alcohol, with some other kind of, you know, body, you know, mind-transforming drug, you know, whether it's something to get me up or get me down. But it's also not self-medicating with, well, I need to go buy another gun or another pair of shoes or fill in the blank. All right, that's a form of self-medication. Each of us has things that our flesh tends to run to find solace instead of running to the Lord. And faith looks like running to the Lord and denying our flesh. That's what walking by faith, moment by moment, looks like. Some other things, I mentioned seeking vengeance. You know, we're all hurt. We all take dings. We all give dings, intended or not. Faith looks like turning to the Lord and entrusting myself to him who judges righteously. That's what Jesus did, right? 1 Peter 2. That's what Jesus did. Faith is turning to God when I'm tempted to fret or worry or have a pity party. And I struggle with those things, and truth is, I know you do too, more and less. We each can struggle with these things. Faith, moment by moment, means when I come to the crossroads and my old man heart wants to grab a hold of this other thing, it means I stop and I look to the Lord and I say, Lord, I'm going to come to you. I'm going to trust you. Lord, will you hold my hand? Will you walk me through the minefield? That's what faith looks like. That's what walking by faith alone today in 2017 looks like. Faith is turning toward God when I'm tempted to manipulate or exert my will, or take matters into my own hands. I like this book I've been reading that I've been mentioning to you about prayer. The fellow talks about how, as a father, he's got several kids, and one of his kids is severely disabled. And he talks about as a father, throughout the book, he talks about as a father, how he's a much better father when he prays for his kids than when he tries to make them do what they should do. I can relate. I can relate. I'm a lot better on my knees. I'm a lot better on my knees. That's what faith alone looks like for you and for me, not trying to take control. Chuck Swindoll says this about faith. He says, we're all faced with a series of great opportunities, brilliantly disguised as impossible situations. I like that. We're all faced with a series of great opportunities, brilliantly disguised as impossible situations. Our God is in the business of making what seems impossible possible. That's his business. Faith sees with God's eyes and chooses what our eyes would never believe. Faith doesn't just see, but faith chooses God when what is before me seems like there's no God in it. So how does God want to strengthen your faith today? My prayer is that, and my prayer for this past week has been that as we've been looking at these scriptures and talking about these things, about what it means to walk by faith alone, my prayer is that the Lord's already been putting his finger on some aspects of things in your own heart, like he has been with me this past week. That's what we want. That's what we want. We want to welcome Jesus. Jesus, I want to walk by faith alone, in you alone. Will you help me? And the areas that you're putting your finger on, the areas that you're bringing to my mind, Lord, I want to trust you and not trust me. I want to trust you and not what the world thinks of me. I want to trust you alone. That's walking by faith alone. That's what it means to walk by faith alone. So cast off cynicism. Cast off cynicism. And cynicism is biting at every one of us. Cast it off. It has no place in the heart of a believer. But it's a fight. It's a fight. Cynicism will undermine your faith faster than anything I can think of. It's like the opposite of faith. It's like anti-faith. Cast it off. And cast off fear of man. You live or die. You stand or fall before one king and one king only. And he loves you. And if you're in Jesus, you're his daughter. You're his son. He's got you. Rest in him. Walk by faith. So live by faith alone today. You and I are on the same journey, brothers and sisters. It's a good journey. Let's pray. Lord, we need you. We look to you. We look to you alone. You are the one, Lord, who's worthy of our faith. We need you. Lord, help us. Lord, I think of the prayers. Lord, I think of the prayer again of that man in Mark chapter 9. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Well, I love the honesty of that prayer. Lord, I think of the disciples called to forgive more than they could even fathom. They said, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, let us live to please you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.